picking up our study tonight. Waiting for my wife. We ready? All right. We're picking up our study tonight in the book of James, or the letter that James wrote to the saints who are scattered abroad. And last week, as we were in the book of James in chapter 3, we were looking at taming the tongue and how it is your tongue is an unspeakable evil. And the reason that the tongue is an unspeakable evil is simply because it's directed by the heart. And guess what? Your heart is an unspeakable evil. And that's where lies and lust and ungodly desires and having your own selfish way, that's where it all comes from, is from your heart, because that's what you really, really want. And God is saying the brother of Jesus, whose name is James, he is telling us just how wicked that tongue truly is. And it tells us in chapter 3, verses 11 and 12, if you'll look there, "Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet and bitter water?" Great question. Think about that. Does a fountain bring forth sweet and bitter water from the very same place? No, it can. Either it's bitter water or it's sweet water. And so, he also asked the same rhetorical question in verse 12. "Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either vine figs, or a grapevine, can it bear figs? Can no fountain both yield salt and fresh water?" As he's talking about the tongue, he's saying that our actions truly need to match our mouth. A lot of folks talk Christianese. They talk peace and goodwill toward men. But in their heart, it's really not there. So as Christians, as the body of Christ, when we step out and we start proclaiming Jesus Christ, proclaiming that you're a Christian, just an off-the-cuff question, how many folks did you tell this week that you were a Christian? Amen. Few. Praise God. And so if they examined you, would they say, he's telling the truth or is he telling a lie? You know, so when we start proclaiming Jesus Christ as our Savior, we start telling people that, we need to really pay attention to our walk. We need to pay attention to who we really are. If we're a Christian by verbiage, by speaking it, then our walk, our lifestyle ought to be emulating the love of Christ in everything that we say and do. And that's where James was pointing out these things. Can a fig tree grow grapes, and can a grapevine grow figs? No, it's impossible. Can sweet water and bitter water come out of the very same well? No, you'll have one or the other. And so he's telling us those type of things in chapter 3. Verses 16 and 17 kind of adds to this thought in chapter 3, verse 16. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, and then it's peaceful, and it's gentle, easy to be entreated. It's full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace to them that make peace. James here is still reminding. Now, remember who he's writing to. He's writing to the 12 tribes. He's writing to Hebrew people that had converted to Christianity, and they had been pushed out of their lands. They were being run across the country. And he's saying, where you go, wherever you're at, remember that you are a Christian first. Remember first and foremost that you are representing, you are the ambassador of Jesus Christ. So act like it. Live like it. Be peaceful to everybody. Where it is in your own power, be peaceful with every soul. And it really makes a difference. It made a difference then, and it still makes a difference today. Too often, especially here in America, they know more about what the church is against than what we're for, right? They say, oh, Christians don't like homosexuals. Christians don't like this. Christians don't like drunks. Christians don't like prostitutes, or Christians don't like this. That's the wrong idea about Christianity. I love all of those people. I was a drunk for a long time. You know, I was an alcoholic. Now I'm a Christian, okay? And Christians don't get drunk. Point blank, you just don't do it. You should love God more than you love your addiction, all right? And so so that's what James is telling the folks here. And coming in to chapter 4, and this will be the new scripture. So let's go to the Lord and ask his blessing on the furthering of the gospel through his word. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and for your grace. Father, I thank you for the written word of God, Lord, that you have given us instructions. You've given us a firm foundation to stand on. You have given us the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for that. I pray that as we go through these next verses here tonight, that you would speak to your people, the church. Father, that they would hear your word, Spirit, that they would hear your word, Holy Father, that they would make the proper adjustments in their lives, in my life, to what the word says, Lord, that my way is not the way, to understand your way is the only way. Father, I pray that you would anoint our ears to do that. You would anoint our feet to follow you, that you would anoint our hands to do the things that you are doing, that you would anoint our hearts to change it from a heart of bitterness to a heart of peace, love, and compassion. And Father, we thank you for those things, and we ask it in and through the name and blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. And James chapter 4 and verse 1. This is a great question. You probably ask it yourself, right? From whence comes wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even from your own lust, that war against in your members? Ye lust and ye have not. Ye kill and ye desire to have and ye cannot obtain. You fight and ye war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. In verse 3, and when you do ask, when you ask and you receive not, it's because you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your own lust. Wow, that answers a lot of questions, doesn't it? Why are there so many wars in the world? The answer's right there. Why is it that we can't get along with our neighbor? The answer's right there. How about somebody who is your enemy? Why can't you get along with them? The answer's right there. Why is there so many different religions in Christianity? There's Catholics, there's Methodists, there's Presbyterians, there's Baptists. Why is that? Well, it's right here. This is why. This is the main reason why. James tells us that these wars and these fightings that come from among us inside of the church is what he's talking about. Where are these things coming from? It comes from where do they come from among you? In verse 1, they come not hence, even of your own lust, that war in your own members. Your own lust, they're warring inside of yourself. You know that there's two spirits on the inside of you that fight continually? If you're a Christian, if there's not, then there's only one, and it's your flesh, and you're not fighting against it, you're going with it. Right? If you're going in the same directions, there's no war, right? If we're walking in unity, no sense in fighting amongst ourselves. But when I come to the place of accepting Jesus Christ and his word in my life, that causes conflict. Amen? Because light and darkness do not live in the same heart. They shouldn't live in the same heart. Jesus put it this way, speaking to the churches in the book of the Revelation, says that I would prefer you to, it's in, don't go there because I can't remember the exact verse. But anyhow, he said, paraphrasing, I would prefer that you would be hot or cold. Because you're lukewarm, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Jesus is very serious about knowing who you are in Christ. Either if you're not a Christian, you're faking it, stop. If you are a Christian, you ain't walking right, change. Change your ways to follow his ways. Guess what? If there's a conflict between you and the Word of God, guess who needs to change? Amen? It ain't God, and it's not his word. He doesn't change. He is the same yesterday, today, and how far? Forever. He never changes. There is no flaw in him. There's no need to change because he is perfect in everything. And he is asking his church to wake up. Wake up. Smell the coffee, as we would say in this time. But back in that time, he would say, just pay attention to what you're doing. Pay attention to what you're doing. If I am wanting something just to feed my flesh, well, maybe God doesn't want my flesh to have its way. I'll tell you this. If I'm doing things in my own flesh, they need to stop. Amen? Who here was here on Sunday and you heard the start of that horrible sermon I preached? Okay? I know a lot. It turned out a lot better than it started. Amen? Because when it started, I was all in the flesh. I had the thing going on. I had my notes put out. But was I stumbling or what? My tongue had fallen out of my mouth and I'm tripping over it on stage. I had to stop because I could sense that I was not doing what the Spirit of God had told me to. Okay, I said, all right, I got to stop right here. And I prayed, I asked God, it got better. You know, still not a stellar sermon, but, you know, nobody left, nobody fell asleep. So, you know, it's one of those things. But what it is, I stopped warring against the Spirit of God and what my flesh was wanting to do. The Spirit of God told me, Curtis, shut up, pray, ask me for help. You're killing it. You know, no, you're really killing it. It's murder. Okay, stop it. And so I did. I stopped. I sensed the Spirit of God. And if you are born again, washed in the Spirit of God, guess what? You have that same unctioning in you. When you're doing something outside of the will of God, does not God's will speak to you? Doesn't He say that this is not who I am? You're supposed to be my person. You're my sheep. I bought you with my blood. Why are you doing this? Why are you fighting against your neighbor? Why are you fighting against fellow Christians over foolish things, genealogies? You know, he tells Timothy and Titus both, don't get caught up into foolish arguments because they only cause division. God hates division. He wants us to be unified under the love and the blood of Jesus Christ. So where do all those things come? It comes from your own lust. It wars against your members. It says in verse 2, you lust, that means to covet. You covet and you don't have. And you kill, and you desire to have, and you cannot obtain it. You fight, and you war, and yet you don't have it because you don't ask. You think God is telling you right there to ask for something that just you want? No, He's saying what He's telling you, if we just prayed for that piece of property that we're looking at there, and we just started praying for that for our own good, because we want to be bigger, we want to be the biggest church in town. Folks, if you're doing that, if that's what, then stop praying for us on that, all right? All right, what I'd like you to do is pray for God's will. I want you to, and then be willing to do what God says. And if He says, let that go, don't do it, then praise God, we'll let it go. We won't do it. It's not that big of a deal, because God has a plan, and it may not be my plan. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, Curtis. That's what God says in the book of Psalms. He says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So quit trying to get things your way. That I did it my way? Well, that's hell's highway. You know, yeah, you can force your opinion. You can force your direction. Even in the Old Testament, where the people had crossed the Red Sea, God's people, and they had been in the wilderness for a little while, and they were hungry for some meat. They had been eating manna sandwiches. They had been eating manna shakes. They had been eating manna dessert, right? And so they were kind of tired of manna. And they said, you brought us out to the wilderness to kill us with everything we need. You know, and so there, I miss the leeks and I miss the garlic. I miss the old world. I miss the old life. How's that today in our life? You get saved, you start walking with God, and all of a sudden you start missing your old life. You start missing your friends that you used to hang around with. You're missing the beers you used to drink, missing the dope you used to smoke, missing the guys or the girls you used to mess around with. That's what He's talking about there. You're missing the old world. And God said, all right, you want meat? You want meat? You want something? Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give it to you. And I'm going to make you eat it until it comes out of your nose. The next morning, He sent quail. And He sent so many quail that it flooded the land. They were beating quails down with sticks. And they started eating them. And they weren't even cooking them. They were just eating them raw off of the ground. God put that desire in. And they were vomiting it and eating it and vomiting it and eating it. You want your way bad enough? God will give you your way. A dog returns to his own vomit, it tells us in Peter. You know, we got to be careful, church. We need to understand who we are in Christ. If we want the old way, God will give it. He'll let you have it. But it shouldn't be something that you want. When He says that you desire and you kill to obtain and you don't have because you don't ask, well, you might be asking for it, but you're asking for it against God's will. You're asking for something that God doesn't want you to have. He says in verse 3, you ask and you receive not because you ask amiss, that you might consume it on your own lust. And then He says it points to the very fact, you are an adulteress. you're adulterers. If you've sworn out to Jesus Christ and you start worshiping other gods, wanting things more than you want Him, God looks at it like you're a married couple and you're cheating on your spouse. That's the only cause for divorce in the Word of God. That's it. That, death, and if the unbelieving spouse decides to leave, let him go. I mean, because there's, I can't lock her. If my wife decides to leave, I can't chain her in the basement, you know. But God puts it out very plainly. If adultery happens, then you're allowed to divorce. God's saying here, these people that are doing these things, if you're desiring and you're trying to maintain it, he considers you an adulterer, an adulteress, guy or girl, whichever way you want to look at it. No, it says in verse 4, know ye not that the friendship with the world is an enemy with God? Whosoever therefore be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think he's beating around the bush here? Do you think this is a joking thing that he elbowed somebody and said, man, this is going to be so funny. I'm going to write this stuff down. They're not going to know what to do with it. No, I think God is very, very serious in his word. He's always. None of this is a joke. We need to choose today who you're going to serve. Choose today, right this moment. You're going to make up your mind in the next 15 minutes. In fact, many of you have already made up your mind. You're saying, no, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it my way. I don't need God's way. I'm going to do it whatever way I want to do it. I'm going to do it the world's way. I'm not going to wait for God. I'm not, here it's Christmas time, right? I'm not going, instead of living within the realm of my financial area, I'm going to get it all on credit cards and pay for it later. I'm doing it my way, not God's way. I want what I want, and I want it now. So I'm going to become a slave to the lender. Folks, we need to be careful. Does the person that you're buying the gift for really need that? And I'm sorry, if I'm stepping on your toes, it's not in my notes, so it just came out. It's one of those things. You know, when we're walking with the Lord, we need to seek Him while He might be found. You know, and we need to keep in that mindset. This is in Isaiah 55 and verse 6, and reading through it says, seek the Lord while He might be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way, and let the wicked forsake his thoughts. Now, catch that. The wicked, the ones who are walking outside of the will of God, forsake your way and come to Him. The wicked that have it in your mind, you might not be doing anything on the outside, but you're thinking it all the time. Change your thought pattern. I'm not a Joyce Meyer's fan by any means, but she did write a good title of a book, The Battlefield of the Mind. Okay? The battlefield of, and a lot of the spiritual battles that we have really are in the mind. Do we really trust God, or do we want what we want more than we love God? And so Isaiah is saying here that the wicked, those who are outside of Christ, need to forsake their way. They need to come back in their thoughts and let Him return to the Lord. And He, that's God, will have mercy upon that person, him or her, and to go to our God. And He will abundantly pardon. Isn't that great about God? If we return to Him, if we make a step toward Him, He's going to make a step toward us. We'll find that here in James here in just a moment. But God is saying, if you will just change your thoughts, if you'll start thinking my way, start putting my word in your heart instead of your word in your heart, you start doing things God's way, I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to help you. Who here wants to be helped by God? I tell you, I am tired of swimming against the current of God. I'm doing my best not to. I swim pretty hard against the current of the world. That's the hard thing. Any dead fish can go downhill, right? You know, it takes a live fish to swim against the current. We're in a world system that is fighting, struggling, and appearing to be conquering against God. But let you know, it's not that way. If we will make up our minds to follow God, He will go before us. And if we, as we sin, if we'll seek His mercy, guess what? He'll give it to us. How often is mercy renewed? Every morning, every day, every morning, His mercies are new. And it's kind of like manna. All you got to do is go out there and pick it up. You know, you confess your sin before the Lord, and He's faithful and just to forgive you that sin. And then He's able to build you up and firmly plant you in where He wants you to go. And it's just seeking the Lord for all that he is. It tells us in Isaiah 55 and verse 9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." That's a beautiful thing too. Because I can't see 5 minutes from now. In fact, I can't tell you, except for my notes, what I'm going to do next. All right? God knows before I started preaching this, he knew how far I was going to get off. He knew when he was going to drag me back into the right scripture, and he knew when I'm going to get off the next time. If you haven't noticed, I chase rabbits a lot, okay? But God knew that when he called me to be a pastor. He knew, he said, this guy's a nut, but I'm going to use him. And so the Lord, he just continually works that out in your life, and he loves you, and he loves to work with you. And he tells us in James chapter 4 and verse 5, "Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, that the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore, he saith, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning, and let your joy be turned to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up." Oh, church, did you catch what he said right there? Who wants to have some victory tonight? And I need some victory, because the world is heavy and it's hard. And God is saying right here, I got some victory for you. I got a way for you to get right with me. He's saying, verse 6, he gives more grace. I need some of that. I need more grace. I need more grace now than I needed when I started. I'll need more grace tomorrow than I need right now. God gives more grace, more abundant grace. And God resists the proud. So if you're looking for grace, but you're too proud to ask for it, guess what? You're not getting it. God's resisting. He's fighting against that. You know, he's saying, well, you think you can do it on your own? Well, go ahead, do it. But I'm not giving you any blessing. Okay, you want it your way? Go ahead, have it your way. You want quail? I'll give it to you till it comes out your nose. But that's not my will for you. My will for you is that you eat manna. My will for you is that you take what I have for you and you be satisfied with that. Oh, but you want your way? Okay, hey. You want to have it? Go ahead. Play that game as far as you want to and see what it's going to get you. Before you know it, you're going to be eating your own vomit. And you're going to think that it tastes good. You look at the world today. What's the world's problem? The world's system? Well, it's an enemy against God. And they're eating the regurgitated lies of their forefathers. And they're eating them with a glad heart. They've forsaken their way of the Lord. They've gotten off the path of righteousness. I was just informed today that our illustrious government has turned its back on its people and allowed all of the wickedness of the world to infiltrate. Well, didn't allow it to infiltrate. They opened the door and invited it in. Oh, America is in a mess, people. And it's in a mess not because it's fooling God or it's a shock to God. He said, if you want to turn away from me, then go for it. You want me? I'll give you your progressive government. I'll let you have that. It's going to make you sick. Church, just remain quiet. Don't worry. Shh. Don't say nothing. Just let them do what they're going to do. No. We are the body of Christ. We're supposed to stand for righteousness. Hey, when you do stand for righteousness, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be persecuted because the world hates you. Hates you. So don't try to draw your strength from the world. Draw your strength to God. It tells us in verse 7 of chapter 4, submit yourselves therefore to God. Submit to God. Whose way is right? God's way. God's way is right. It's always submit to God and then resist the devil. Oh, too often we're trying to resist the devil without submitting to God. We're saying, I'll stand against Satan in my own power. Well, let me tell you what, he will roll you down and flatten you out, suck everything that you have. In fact, what he'll do is he'll give you everything the world has to offer. That's what he offered Jesus, wasn't it? He told Jesus in the temptation, hey, worship me and you can have all the kingdoms of the world. Now, did he have the authority to do that? Absolutely he did. He could have gave Jesus everything the world has to offer. Oh, but Jesus used the scripture. He was always submitting to the Father. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing, is what he tells us. I only do what I see the Father doing. I only walk in his way. Tells us in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, walk in the Spirit. Wow, huh? Great idea, right? Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit is against the flesh. You've got two things in you, your way and God's way, if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, it's only your way. All right? If you have trusted Jesus Christ, and I believe from the raise of hands, and I know you guys pretty much, those that come here regularly, you admit, you say that you're a Christian. I mean, I've seen you. I've had you raise your hands on times in the past, and everybody that's sitting in here tonight would raise their hand. If I ask if you're a Christian, you would raise your hand, right? Right? Let me ask you this. Are you walking in the Spirit of God? Are you resisting? Are you submitting to God who makes you able to resist the devil? See, a lot of wealth and prosperity preachers, they'll say, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. They forget the first part of the verse, which says, you need to be walking in the righteousness of God. You ought to be drawing closer to him. In fact, he tells you that in the next verse. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh unto you. Then he says, cleanse your hands, you old sinners. Get right before God. God's saying right now, he's saying you got dirty hands. Is he going to wash them for you? No. God's not going to do that. He says, you confess your sin before me. You come to the fountain and I'll make you clean. You come to the laver, the washing laver outside the temple, and you cleanse your hands, you sinners. And you may say, oh, I'm not a sinner. Well, yes, you are. You know, because if you just said you're not a sinner, you're a liar, and lies sin. You know? And so God lays it out pretty simple. But if you'll draw near to him, he'll draw to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Make up your mind who you're going to serve. We can't continue in the flesh and sin and submit ourselves to God. You're going to do one or the other. Either you're going to walk with God or you're going to walk in the world. You need to make up your mind. We've got to make up our mind. Oh, it tells us that friendship with the world is an enemy with God. Do you really love this world so much? And this, excuse me, this just came to my mind. I don't want to say this and sound hard, so can you take it? Okay. When a Christian's preparing to die, should that not be good news? I mean, don't get me wrong. I hope that somebody mourns for me when I die. Okay, you know, I hope that you miss me. But I hope that you're really excited for where I'm going. All right? Be excited because I'm no longer going to be entrapped with this sinful flesh anymore. Be excited for me because there's going to come a day of the resurrection. Be excited because I'm going to be in the presence of the Father. Be excited for that. I don't want to have anything that makes me hold on to this world so much that it makes me afraid of death. This world should have nothing for you. It should hold no thing for the Christian. You know what? Everything in this world is going to burn with a fervent heat. That's what it tells us in Peter. It will burn with a fervent heat. The actual atoms and the molecules of this universe are going to split someday and it's going to dissolve. There's nothing worth having here on the world. The only thing that you're going to bring with you to heaven is the folks that you introduced to Christ. That's it. All of your wealth is going to stay here. All of your poorness is going to stay here. All of your pain is going to stay here. All your agony is going to stay here. All of your hatred? Well, if you're living in hatred, then you're living in the world. Well, you'll stay here with that. So, amen? the double-minded folks. It tells us, James had already talked about this in chapter 1 and verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Right? If you can't make up your mind who you're going to serve, if you can't make up your mind that you're going to love God more than anything else, then you're double-minded. You'll be tossed about by every wind of doctrine that comes around. Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15 put it this way. Now therefore fear the Lord. Amen? Serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Verse 15, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. But as for me and my house, I'm serving the Lord. Okay? And see, I can't make that decision for you. I can't do that for you. You got to do that for yourself. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Make up your mind, you double-minded. Either you're going to be in Christ or you're going to be out of Christ. Either you are going to live as a Christian or you're not going to live as a Christian. Now, does that mean that you will never sin? No, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, does that mean that I'm going to live in that sin? If I know that I'm doing something against the will of God, I am told to submit to God. That means to stop doing what I was going to do and start walking in the righteousness that Jesus Christ has laid out for me. Draw near unto God and He'll draw near to you. I like that. So when I finally get undouble-minded and I get single-minded for Christ and I say, God, You're right, I'm submitting to You and I'm going to take a step for You, toward you, for you, in you, doing your thing and not my thing, then God says, I see that and I'm going to take a God step toward you. And the cool thing about God is His steps are much bigger than mine. Okay? I just make up my mind that I'm going to turn. And you know what? It's like that prodigal son and the father sees him a ways off and he says, look there, my son's coming home. My child is coming to me. Praise God. Go kill the fatted calf. Go get him a fresh robe. Put the ring, the signet ring back on his hand. Invite him back in. When we decide to stop eating with the swine of the world and start walking in the righteousness of God, God is excited for you. He wants you to come home. It is the greatest joy in heaven when those who belong to God come home to God. Because remember, James isn't talking to the world here. He's talking to the church here. He's talking to those who have trusted Jesus Christ and they're being persecuted for the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is a message of encouragement to the church. Choose you today who you're going to serve. Make up your mind, you double-minded. Choose. Make a choice. Either be hot or be cold. Make a choice. Walk with the world and be an enemy of God, or walk with God and be an enemy of the world. It's okay if they hate you. And I said this 1,000 times. The world never liked you to start with. It might. Have you ever been in one of those? I was picked on a lot when I was in school. Well, I was picked on some. I always fought back. Anyhow, ever been bullied in school? Right? And they come up and they say, oh, come close to me, you know, come be my buddy. And you want that attention of the world. You want the attention of the folks who are abusing you. And so you go over to the folks who are, oh, yeah, I want to be your buddy. I want to be your buddy. And all they want to do is stick your head in the toilet and flush it. Right? That's all they really want to do. Okay, that's, it never happened to you, did it? Yeah, that's what the world wants to do to you. It wants to call you its friend. It wants to just give you some stuff. But all it really wants to do is shove your head in a toilet and flush it. God is saying, hey, get away from that. Don't be a friend of the world. The world hates God. The world hates Christians. And that's okay. Don't be a friend of the world. You want a friend? Jesus says, I will call you friend if you do whatsoever I command you. John chapter 15, verse 15. I'll be your friend. You want a friend? I'll be your friend. I will be a friend so close, I'm closer than a brother. But obey me. Walk in my ways. Submit your will to my will. Obey me. Wash your hands, you old sinners. Oh, God loves you so much. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Amen. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He'll lift you up. That's all we're going to talk about tonight. And so I pray that you have listened to the Lord, that you've heard something that you can apply in your life this next week. Let's go to the Lord in a quick prayer and just ask God to walk before us this next week. Father, we do thank you and we love you. We praise you for your goodness and for your grace. And as we come even now, just asking that you would fill us fresh and anew with your Spirit, Father, that we would make up our mind today in whom we're going to serve. Lord, that you would go before us and just speak to us with, draw us with those cords of love. And Lord, we just thank you and we praise you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.